What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. I feel like it's been a long time since you and I did the show.
It's been a while because you've been traveling.
I've been gallivanting around the world, as they say. You were busy. You disappeared for a week.
I'm not here next week either, so you're lucky to have me this week.
Oh, yeah, you didn't ask that email.
I did. Yeah, I said I'm not here this week.
The
week of the 25th.
And I said what month? Because it turns out March is the 25th as well.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's next,
maybe
next
I just
week
said
is
it
what
to
I'm
Andrea.
Referring to. I'm not here next week.
I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to fix this.
Oh, thank you.
That was rolled up.
I appreciate that.
If it was Nick Scarpino, I'd be like, ugh, he saw it in a rap video and he's trying to do it. You, I know. That's not on purpose.
No, nothing. No. Almost nothing I do sartorially is on purpose. That's for sure.
So what's new? What have you been playing?
A lot of Tetris 99. We were just talking about that before the show.
We were.
I know we're going to kind of basically just rehash the conversation we just had before the show. But
what a game.
I'm sure it's been said, what a brilliant idea. What a great concept to take the Battle Royale concept and port it in. Because you remember when PUBG was a big deal in Fortnite?
I've heard of it.
I've said on the show a number of times, and the prediction has proved largely true. There's going to be a lot more of this coming. You're going to see Call of Duty. You're going to see, eventually.
EA with Respawn.
EA and Respawn and Apex, which came out of nowhere. But, again, was obviously part of that trend that we predicted.
Sure.
All very predictable.
Yeah.
What I didn't see coming was taking the 99-1 concept, or I guess technically 98-1 in Tetris 99, but taking that basically 100-player player base and last man standing, taking that and applying it to a completely different kind of game, not a shooter, but Tetris, just works brilliantly. And because what it does is it takes me, and we talked to Kevin about this before the show, I'm old enough to remember 1989, Game Boy Tetris, the first one that really kind of like brought Tetris to America and was a big, big deal. Playing it. Did you ever do this? Play on the LAN, on the connection cable, on the LAN cable with two Game Boys?
This was, the coolest moment for me as a kid being obsessed with video games is that I got the Game Boy from Aunt and Uncle Scott. When I played it that first night, Uncle Scott thought it was so cool, he went and bought one.
Oh, wow.
So, when we come back for other visits, I would play against him in Tetris.
And do you have the little LAN cable?
Yeah, totally.
So that whole concept of, like, I clear some lines and that gets sent to you as garbage and pushes your pile up, that was where that all began. And I just remember thinking, like, oh my God, this is the pinnacle of multiplayer gaming. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Flash forward 30 years and we see that same concept extrapolated out to the nth degree with 99 players, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like I think it has something about, it says something about Tetris as well, just how endlessly adaptable Tetris is. It's such a brilliant, simple concept that there's always a way to add something
new. One of the best games of all time, inarguably,
there's no question.
Somehow manages to reinvent itself and get better so many times over.
In fact, we've seen it happen twice in quick succession. Tetris Effect brought a whole new vibe to it.
You're going to have 2 years in a row where Tetris is in the running for Game of the Year. That's insane and awesome.
It's
great, but
It speaks to the genius of Tetris, and it speaks to, I think, the endless innovation and invention that game designers are able to bring to concepts that you think are pretty much played out. Like, the argument with Tetris, the argument against Tetris Effect, which I personally didn't agree with, is, but it's still just Tetris.
Yeah.
Which I've said, that's like saying, well, it's still just only Mozart. Yeah. It's still like one of the greatest games ever made. You can always, always pick up Tetris.
And
if you're tired of Tetris, you are tired of life.
Exactly. And it speaks to the old adage, right, that gameplay is king.
Like,
you can have all the bells and whistles and facial animations and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours and employees and work weeks and crunches and all this stuff to make something crazy and then have it be, well, it's Crackdown 3. But you can also have something that is so fucking simple and basic. And that's what I was talking about with Tetris 99, right? No frills. You start it up, right? Do you want to play? Do you want to look at your stats? Do you want very basic options? These are your choices. And you don't want to do any of this? Fuck off. We're Tetris 99.
And what's incredible about it is, and I guess I shouldn't be too surprised because, there's a tremendous amount of Switches out there and the game is basically free. I know that you've got to have a Nintendo Online subscription to qualify for it, but the game itself is free once you have that subscription. And
totally.
The subscription is, what is it, like $4 or something? It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it was $20 for an entire year.
For an entire year.
And that's how. We're on a family plan here. It's kind of funny. So,
we have the family plan at home as well because my wife and daughter want to play on their own.
Sure.
If you want to play online on different profiles, you have to have the family plan.
Yeah. Well, the thing for at home was, right, Jen didn't have it because she's just been playing Stardew Valley.
Right.
And so she was like, oh, man, I want to do this. And I was like, easiest $20 I've ever spent.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you'll ever use any of the other online features, but Tetris alone deserves the $20.
Yeah, yeah. And so the whole family's been playing at home. One of the things that I find it's so impressive.
How much better is your wife than you? Because I'm sure she's monumentally better.
I have a better top position than her currently. Her best position is 13th. Mine is 9th.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So I've yet to crack that. You said you've had a couple of number twos, right?
No, I've had a lot of number threes.
Threes is a
Kevin's
good.
Oh, got Kevin's it. Kevin has the one number two.
Right.
Making him the best in the
Kevin,
office
Kevin, how
so far.
Frustrating was that to get to number two but not be able to take the top spot?
Was
it painful?
It's so painful because you know every line's coming from this other person you're playing. And I've gotten two several times now.
Nice.
It's just so depressing.
I mean, in general, I've talked about this online, but like, I feel like I'm having the game of my life. Right. And I look and there's still like 20 other players. You're like, are you fucking kidding?
The
and then
worst.
You finally get it to number three and it's like only a matter of time before.
I just said it's my standards are very low. I tweeted about something about this morning. Like whenever someone goes out in 99th, because someone has to go out in 99th place, right? Because there was a tweet this morning, someone was saying, like, just when anytime you think your life is sucking, just remember there's someone out there coming out 99th. In 99th place in Tetris 99. It's true, but my standards are so low that as soon as the first person goes out, I'm a little bit relieved because I know it's not going to be me. I don't know if I've gone out in the 90s. I've certainly gone out in the 80s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and you can have a bad game.
Well, some of the times just the fat fingers. You know, you hit the wrong thing. Yeah. You're building.
I'm
you drop,
telling you,
and you block
we
yourself,
talked about this too. On. I don't like the Switch Pro because I've been playing on the Pro Controller, and I got a great pro tip from you on this. Controller, you will sometimes accidentally press up and get a hard drop that you don't want.
The D-pad's all connected.
But you've been playing with the two connected Joy-Cons.
For the first time ever, I popped my Joy-Cons off and put them into the slide
into the little holder.
What do they call that? I don't even remember.
I don't know what it.
Funcon? Is that what it is? Yeah, whatever. The plastic thing that you never use, you immediately toss when you get it.
You only ever need it when you need like an extra controller.
Right. But it's been perfect for Tetris because I still then have the
separated buttons. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Separated. And Tetris 99. Currently in the running for game of the year. Can it hold on? We'll see.
That's mainly what I've been playing because it's so easy to pick
too.
Up and play.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready for the Odyssey spoiler cast, so I popped that in for DLC yesterday. But like, no, Tetris 99 is what it's about. But this show. It's kind of funny. Games Daily. Today's top stories include Dreams Kinda has a release date. We got new NPD rankings for you, and there's repercussions from underperforming games. If you didn't know, Kinda Funny Games Daily runs you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. If you want to be part of the show, go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames where you can be a bronze member and ask us questions, give us bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. You can be a silver member too, get the show ad-free as an MP3 and a video, but I digress. You can watch us record it live for free on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job to do. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on MP3 and watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and roosterteeth.com. Housekeeping for you today, Friday. Kevin, Andrea, and me are all streaming Anthem, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, right after the Kind of Funny screencast. Gary, we have a bunch of Anthem questions coming up, so we'll save all the Anthem.
Will that be your first time playing Anthem?
It will be, yeah. Okay. Never touched the sticks before. Heard, you know, everybody loves the gameplay, and then, of course, there's all the scuttlebutt about the reviews, and then there's a big day one patch, and there's all these people, and then Mikey Ibarra is yelling at people on Twitter. A whole bunch of things are happening.
It seems like there's another... Anthem is like the Brexit of video games right now. So there's another...
There's another scandal every day.
But it seems like there's another big ball drop every day with like, oh my God, now this?
Yeah.
Like every single day. They're not having... I mean, who knows? By the time the game comes out and by the time they do all the patches, you know, it's tough with games like this, with these games as a service, these loot and shoot games, that shoot. When you drop them on day one, they're never right. You know, they always need a lot of work. And you got to factor that into the conversation here as well. But it just seems like I, as a casual observer, just watching the news sites and watching the comments in my Twitter feed, it seems like they're not... The people at BioWare can't be happy with the narrative right now surrounding the game.
Of course not. And I was going to do the thing where I take the questions from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and give you one right now.
Okay.
The problem is we have three major questions about it.
Right,
we would derail the entire show. We'll
get
to Anthem eventually. Don't worry about it, everybody. It's Friday, stream an Anthem. It'll be fun. Even if we hate the game. And if it doesn't work because of the servers, we're just going to play Tetris 99.
Woohoo!
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Stargie, Mohammed Mohammed, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Robin Hood and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Four items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's Dozen!
Number one, ladies and gentlemen, Dreams creator has an early access launch date, kinda. It's coming this spring. This is from Shaban from Media Molecule over on the PlayStation blog. As you may know, our small team has been working on Dreams for a long time. Beta was a very important step for us. It confirmed our tool set is ready for the community, but we still have more work to be done in other areas. Every game developer wants their game to be perfect, and we are no different. We have so many ambitions for Dreams that the beta reminded us that Dreams only truly comes to life in the hands of you all, the community. So, we scratched our chins and tried to come up and figure out the best way to put the game in the hands of our most enthusiastic dreamers and allow us to continue crafting and polishing it for everyone. And we have decided to go live and release Dreams into early access on PlayStation 4 this spring. OMG, it's happening. Early access won't have everything that the full version of Dreams will, but you'll get 100% of the same Dreams tools that we have used every day at Media Molecule to create our content. As well as fun, deep interactive tutorials catering for all skill sets and levels, and MM-crafted arcade games ready to play and remix. If you joined us during the beta period and published your assets, you'll have your beta creations to return to. Along the way, we'll be adding more features, tutorials, arcade levels, and assets during the early access period as we build towards the full slate of launch content. Just like with Little Big Planet, we have always planned to evolve Dreams with the community, and this is just the start. We'll use early access to help us prioritize all the awesome stuff we're already working on and get feedback as player needs develop and evolve. With refinements, bug fixes, and brand new features on the way, we are kicking off the live service side of Dreams so the community can get their first look at how we'll continue to support the game. In early access, you can stream, entertain, teach, collaborate, and share to your heart's content. Early access is for creators who want to be part of the Dreams experience from the beginning. People who will create, play others' creations, get involved in social features of Dreams, and give us feedback. If you are a creator, this is definitely for you. The Dreamverse needs curators, tastemakers, and testers. This is a great opportunity to carve out your niche. The most important thing is to know that the Dreamverse is going to form around you. So if that gets you excited, early access is for you. If you participated in the beta and felt like Dreams wasn't fully featured enough for you yet, or you wanted more Media Molecule game content, then early access might not be for you. We're working on all those things during this period so that you have everything you need your first day in the Dreamverse. Dreams Early Access is a strictly limited release to ensure that we have a chance to listen to all of you, so be sure to snag your copy as soon as you can. Dreams Early Access will be available digitally through the PlayStation Store this spring, priced at $29.99 US and $39.99 in Canada. Gary, there's finally movement on Dreams actually being a real game and coming out for people to pay money for and play. What do you think of this as a creator's early access?
Well, first of all, I'm absolutely fascinated by this product, Dreams. I don't know too much about it. I've seen some of the YouTube videos. And
I was
going
to say, did you see the beta stuff? Because beta's really what it popped up. Hey, they recreated PT. They recreated Dead Space. They made a rock band.
It's kind of it's amazing to me. And this is why I'm fascinated to actually see what it really is. And I've seen some of the behind the scenes stuff, like the music creator and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That you could, with a console and with the limitations of the controller, and I guess also it uses the Move controllers.
Yeah, you can use Move stuff, yeah.
To build development tools that are so robust that you can create things this fully featured,
100%.
Like complete games. It's like it's like having a whole programming language. You know what it takes me back to? Do you remember the old Eurosi PlayStation that you could develop games on?
Net and Eurosi, yeah.
Remember that back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
It almost reminds me of like a more accessible version of that, because one of the things that has always frustrated me about consoles is that you can't actually, they're consumption only devices. One of the things I loved about growing up in the computer game revolution of the 1980s in the UK was all those, it wasn't so much about Nintendo and Sega, it was about the Commodore and the Spectrum and the Amstrad and those home computers. And of course, what you could do on those computers is not just play the games,
you
but also
them, right?
create and program your own, because you know they were fully featured computers with a keyboard and programming software that you get, and you can make your own games.
Yeah.
And some of the greatest games that came out of the 80s were made by, you know, just like one kid in his bedroom who learned how to program on his Commodore 64 or his Spectrum, whatever. That has always been inaccessible on the Nintendo and Sony and Sega platforms and Microsoft. So there's never really been like something that lets you get in and create. Like Eurosi was, they would, it was like halfway getting there, and we've seen, you know,
we've seen
construction kits and things like that, sure, that let you build, and tools that let you create things. Minecraft, obviously,
sure. Little Big Planet
was still obviously feels like a necessary stepping stone in the evolution of Dreams.
Yeah.
But Dreams, to me, if it is even half of what it seems like it's promising,
yeah,
would be the most robust game development tool, you know, for the mass market ever, uh-huh, released on a console. And I'm fully expecting to see, as more and more people get their hands on it, some really amazing out-of-the-box stuff.
Yeah, this is... We've talked a lot about Dreams, and when I say we, I mean Kind of Funny Best Friends, going all the way back to when we were on Podcast Beyond. This has been such a conversation of, what is this? I've said it before that I'm worried about Media Molecule based on this, right? Because I do feel... Media Molecule and Dreams is very much a product of when PlayStation was PlayStation 3, and hey, let's be artsy fartsy and let's do crazy shit and see what happens. Yeah, you want some money, you want to go make something, go make something, and we'll see what it is. And PlayStation 4 hasn't been that, or hasn't evolved into that. PlayStation 4 has evolved into, hey, make tried and true exclusives that are single player focused, that are going to tell a story. Let's get out there and do these.
You think there was more, like, you know, are you saying that there was more innovation and outside of the box stuff on PlayStation 3 than there is on PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. And I wouldn't say innovation, because you can make an argument, obviously God of War is innovative with a single camera and stuff like that. I mean that I think PlayStation 3, PlayStation was throwing around money to get exclusives to bring people to the platform, whether they were first party or not, and saying, hey, do weird shit. What's your weird shit? Nobi Nobi Boy? Whatever. Fucking come on. Let's make it happen. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, make totally acid trippy games. Whereas PlayStation 4 has been more buttoned up on that. And you've seen that move to Switch. You've seen Xbox chase exclusives in a different way, too. But PlayStation 4 really buttoned up and be like, games. Really great games. AAA games. You know, pinnacle games. This is a brilliant move. And it's not, I don't think it's the best, you know what I mean? We've talked before of like, what if they could offer just the creator side through PlayStation Plus and get it into everybody's hands for free and have them do it. What this is great about is that it gets to, from a business side, make money off the people who are diehard, ride or die Media Molecule people, who are ride or die creators, who are super interested, who, you know, support the studio and who are going to go in there and make stuff. And then, yeah, Media Molecule gets to build off it, but the Dreams IP itself gets to continue to see online articles, breakout videos on YouTube, Reset Era threads that are going to be, holy shit, look at what Creator X made. They recreated this thing. They made this thing. And the one thing about the beta was, oh my God, they recreated PT, right? And we went in and played it, and it was like, oh sure, like this is the PT world and it's amazing, but it's not a full-fledged game yet. It's very much running through. But with more time, with more, you know, the ability to sit there and play to your heart's content and not have to worry about the servers being closed off, all the games. We played a really one that looked exactly like Mario and sounded exactly like Mario, but there weren't block physics and you didn't get... It was all these little things that weren't Mario, right? Letting that get out there and have people be able to pay to enter, to play and create and share and change and do all the things we've talked about with Dreams is going to lead to amazing creations that then act as the advertisements for Dreams. And I can already tell you what's going to happen. When inevitably they're like, all right, cool. The other side, you know, this is the creator side, the Media Molecule, the actual game side of it is ready to be released. We're ready to press discs. We're ready to sell it everywhere. The ad campaign is going to become... Dreams is out, you know, play through the present and join the 100,000 levels that have already been created.
And look what people have already done with it. Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull, if they're smart, if they pull for this ad campaign from the thing and they're giving like, be like Dong Slayer 69 in his game. You know what I mean?
I think that Dong Slayer 69. I think the greatest advertisement for this game is going to be what people make with it, right?
Yep.
And I think if their marketing is smart, they will take some of the most interesting things to come out of the beta and early access and put those forward. That was the genius or the part of the success of Minecraft, and I think maybe to a lesser extent Mario Maker, was every week or every month, still to this day, there's a new store, there's a new, like, oh my God, look what someone's done with some crazy shit that someone made in Minecraft this time.
Yeah.
Like someone's made all of Westeros or whatever.
Yep.
You know, there's a, you know, there was a story I think just the other week about a guy who built a level in Mario Maker that was so incredibly hard that he then spent the next 2 years trying to beat it and has been unsuccessful. But his obsession is to beat his own incredibly hard level. So you keep getting all these really interesting. So basically, the PR machine becomes this. You know, it just spins up and keeps running on its own now. Once it's done, you just let the creators create the PR and the marketing for you because 100%. They're always putting something new out there.
And this goes to my same argument I always make with PlayStation Plus and why you know they should include VR, because at some point if you're going through and you don't own a PlayStation VR but you're downloading these games, you're gonna get 6 months, 7 months in and be like, well, I guess I already have a dozen games. I might as well buy the VR headset, right? I have a dozen games for free that I should play. It'll be the same thing here. Imagine. We saw a really big groundswell of support in a holy shit moment in early January when they did lift the NDA and let people show their creations. That was after, what, a month? A few weeks of people using it? Imagine what it's going to be like, when it's been 6 months of people creating all sorts of shit and going from weird demo things to actually full-fledged levels, full-fledged games that are now ready, and then you're going to be able to let people in, and it will be that.
That's what's really interesting about it is that I don't necessarily. I think it's as much as I'm fascinated by it, it's unlikely that I would get it and actually try to create things with it, because I don't feel like I just have that kind of brain. I'm not willing to put all the amount of time into really develop something. But I would be fascinated. I think a lot of people might do this. I imagine you might see plenty of people buy the game, buy Dreams. Never create anything with it, but just happily be in the community store and just constantly downloading like whatever the crazy thing is this week.
Well, I mean, like, it's funny, like, you know, and I know it's not funny because they fucking designed the game. They know exactly what they're going for, right? Siobhan, in her point, thing says right here, right? If you're a creator, this is definitely for you. The Dreamverse needs curators, tastemakers, and testers. This is a great opportunity for you to carve out your niche. She is 1,000% talking to all the people who are interested in this but don't know how to create. She is 100% talking to people who run podcasts, who do YouTube channels, who make art and are looking for content to make a GameSpot or IGN. Of guess what? Yes, I'm Greg Miller, and I really do like Media Molecule stuff, and I really do like creating stuff. I'm going to get into this for sure, and I'm going to hopefully check in every so often and look at cool crap and star it, and then people follow me, and I'm spreading it.
If you're an IGN or a GameSpot or one of these websites, you're already probably setting up, or you're imagining that when the time comes, you're going to be doing content like every week or every month, here's the top 10 Dreams creations that you need to check out.
That's what I used to do at IGN for Little Big Planet,
Right, and so you'll be seeing that with Dreams as well.
But it's a gamble, right? Because you figure at IGN, and even when I was there, when you see like Dan Stapleton talk about what gets reviewed and what doesn't get reviewed, right? It is driven by audience interest. And I'm not sure where Dreams is with the mainstream anymore. If it is to the point that those will return views. I remember when I did the Little Big Planet and Mod Nation Racers articles of here's the best creations week in, week out, submit them to me and stuff like that. This is back in the day where that was like a novel concept of having the audience tell you, hey, these are cool things. You know, traffic was good in the beginning, but then it would drop. And then maybe one day I had something super exciting about Iron Man and then it would be back down.
Do you think this is just off the top of my head, maybe it's a dumb idea, but do you think there's any argument for another version of Dreams that is cheaper, which doesn't let you create but lets you consume the content?
Yes, I do. And that this is back to the argument of we were thinking of it of like, how are you going to launch this game and market this game when you're like, hey, people are going to create stuff, right? But now this is a great way of having them create a bunch of stuff. Yes, I feel like the fact they're already breaking out the creator tools of it makes it seem like they could break out the player side of it and charge you $20, right? This is $30, right? So if is it $30 for the other side? Is it $20 for the other side, which is unlimited levels and you don't get to create? I don't know. I think they do need to look at some kind of model similar to that. They do need to figure it out because it is the people who just want to play shit are way more than the people who want to create shit. And I think that when Dreams and even Little Big Planet get marketed as a creation tool, it's a turnoff for a lot of people and they don't even get into it. And so, I think there's an audience for that. I do think if they're going to do that, more than anything, I would say put it into PlayStation Plus.
Right.
And then have people go, my God, that's awesome, blah, blah. And I'm sure.
And you might get people that come and consume the content and go, you know what, this is cool. I want to try to build something. And then they go get the full game.
Well, because again, it's so big. Dreams is so big that like when I think about creating stuff, like Little Big Planet, I made levels. I wasn't good at it, but I did it because it was fun and I wanted the platinum and stuff. When I talk about Dreams and I talk about creating I talk about like the idea that you can just, you can upload songs. Andy can, he can make the songs in the game, or he could upload MP3s that people could use in their songs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want people who are in the community who are like, you know, Greg, do you want to do a voice? Yeah, I will gladly upload WAV files to Dreams for you to put into your things. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of shit I think I'll be contributing. I don't think anymore I need to think of, I'm making an entire level. I need a, you know, beginning, middle, and end. I need to figure all that out. I think I can sit there, and if I'm, let's say I'm not, but I'm really into painting, I can paint something, right? And you can use it as a backdrop. If I'm really into just modeling something, I can model something. You know what I mean? There's all these different ways of, you no longer have to be everything, which is so powerful, because I really do feel like it's going to be, there's going to be people, let's say this is not true. Let's say I wanted to do a Superman shmup. Right? Nobody's making a good Superman game. Greg Miller's going to make it. Not the one I've pitched before, because that's way too complicated and I wouldn't know how to do it. Maybe I'll run into somebody who makes complicated levels though when I pitch it to them. But I want to make a Superman shmup, right? I don't know how to make anything look cool, right? Reach out to my artist. I play a bunch of Dream stuff. I find the creators who are making cool levels. I find the cool art in there. I find the cool artists they used. I PSN message them, email them. I'm sure everybody will have their Twitter in there. And be like, hey, you made this really cool thing. How would you? I need 3 sprite images for Superman, right? Of him flying straight ahead, him turning, him doing. Can you do that for me? And hopefully they say yes. And then you just have this whole collaborative process that is making games that are way more intense than.
I mean, I think potentially the sky really is the limit. I have mixed feelings about this game, because on the one hand, I think the idea behind it, the whole endeavor, is terrific and admirable. And anything that puts tools in the hands of people that makes it easier for them and encourages them to create something should be supported and applauded, and I want it to do as well as possible. At the same time, I do worry that there's, you know, in within the, this isn't going to sell Call of Duty type numbers, right? I don't know if it's going to be a big enough success to really set the world on fire.
Yeah.
But I do think even if it's only like a moderately selling game, there will still be enough of a diehard contingent that there will be interesting stories and interest. Oh my God, look what someone did with it this week. That's going to continue. You're going to see a lot of that for a while, I think.
I have no doubt the creator community for Media Molecule, Little Big Planet, however you want to terminology it, when they get into Dreams, they are going nowhere. But it's just that thing of, I do worry about what Sony considers a success for a game that's been gestating this long. Dreams have been talked about forever, right? Like, we saw the dancing thing at the PS4 reveal event, and it's like, it's been a long time coming, right? And like, before we got here, and even before, and I've been on this soapbox before. Before that, for Media Molecule, Tearaway didn't really set the world on fire. It was another one, this really uses the Vita well, and they eventually made the PlayStation version. It was like, console version, everybody's like, man, whatever. Like, I worry about what internally at the top PlayStation pressure is for this game.
Did the Little Big Planet game sell well?
Oh yeah. Okay. Little Big Planet did incredibly well. It was like, Sackboy became one of the mascots of the thing. And what I always found interesting was, you know, I forget if it was, there was an, it's so old now because I'm such an old man. There was an anecdote, and I can't remember if it was, I think it was one of Colin's friends was a teacher, and they were talking about how, like, kids had, they don't play the game, but they have Sackboy crap everywhere. Like, they have Sackboy's hanging. And I remember going to Toys R Us for the first time in years, and there being like a wall of Sackboy stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't like in the video game aisle, it was in the action figure aisle. Like, oh, I'm actually finding something. Dream's going to be really, really awesome.
I just have one question about the early access. I presume I know the answer to this, but just to be sure, because they don't make it clear. If you get Dream's early access in spring and pay $30 or $40 for it if you're in Canada, when the game becomes final and gold, does your early access version then just get upgraded to that?
I did not see that on the blog. So let me try to throw open the PlayStation blog and see if, I'm sure somebody's asked that question.
Are they going to be selling, once Dreams is actually in a box, are they going to be selling it for $30?
Yeah.
Or do you need to spend, like, is it a $60 product and you need to spend another $30 to upgrade it or something? They seem to be
loading up the,
not clear on that
thing here. Oh, God, the PlayStation Store. What a nightmare. You know what I mean? On the digital portal. You search for Dreams. Here's 137 matches. The first is Dream It, an avatar for the PS3. Like, what? Dreams. Games. Click there. And then do I need to refresh? Or do you do? Okay, you did it. Good job. Dreams isn't available for pre-order on the PlayStation Store yet, so I don't know. And then it looks like comments on the blog are turned off.
This suggests...
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you know.
This suggests one of two things. That the retail version of Dreams is a $30 product, or you're going to have to pay more to get out of early access and into the final version to upgrade.
You would think, right? The normal way it works, correct me if I'm wrong, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You know, and I know this is right because I think one of the things in our out today things on Steam early access, if you buy and you get in, you get it at that price. And then when they fully release it and they upgrade the price, you don't owe them more money.
Right.
So I don't know if Dreams is going to work that way because, I mean, again, it's not the full game.
If they are going to be selling Dreams for $30, that's going to help.
Sure, but yeah, well, I doubt it, though. I think that's why they're being very this is just the creation tools.
Interesting.
And no comments on the blog over here. And then IGN doesn't even have the story up yet. I'm going to just leave your wrong open and see who corrects us here.
Yeah, see if anyone knows the answer.
Here we go. Thank you very much. Lord of Pwn says, buying Dreams early access gets you the full game when it fully comes out. It was confirmed on Media Molecule's Discord.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, good.
Thank you, Lord of Pwn.
But does that also mean that
if I wait
for the box version, it's also going to be $30, or am I getting this reduced price?
I think you're getting a deal.
I'm getting
Lord of
Pwn,
let me know if in the Media Molecule Discord it says that. Okay. But yeah, I would think you're getting it at a discount, and it'll probably be 50 or 60 when it drops.
Right, okay.
Number two, we have January NPD highlights. These are from Daniel Ahmad. That's right, Z-Huge EX over at Reset Era. Back again, second time on the show this week. He put up his post over there. Kingdom Hearts 3 was the best-selling game of January 2019. Total launch month dollar sales of Kingdom Hearts 3 were 2.5 times that of the previous franchise best, Kingdom Hearts 2, which debuted on the PlayStation 2 in March 2006 tracking period. This is the second month in history that a Kingdom Hearts game has topped the bestseller charts. Kingdom Hearts 2 was the best-selling game in April 2006. Resident Evil 2 ranked second on January's bestsellers chart, driving more than 2.8 times higher dollar sales in the launch month of the original Resident Evil 2, which was released in January 1998, tracking period on PlayStation. Resident Evil 2 was January's best-selling game on the Xbox One platform. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe entered the January charts as the third best-selling game of the month. Launch month dollar sales of New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe were more than 30% higher than that of New Super Mario Bros. U, which launched on the Wii U in November 2012. And then Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown set a new franchise record as launch month dollar sales totaled more than 80% higher than October 2007 Ace Combat 6 Fires of Liberation. So NPD dropping. I saw most people picking this up, like GamesIndustry.biz and a couple other people reporting on the fact that January sales were down. In his post on Reset Area, Daniel says, January 2019 tracked spending across video game hardware, software, accessories, and game cards declined 19% when compared to a year ago to $893 million. All segments of spending reflected double-digit percentage declines when compared to January 2018. Despite declines, when compared to a year ago, January 2019 spending was the second highest market total achieved in a January month since the $917 reached in January 2013. So I don't think it's that big of a story. I think it's just the sexier headline than Kingdom Hearts 3 sold really well.
It's a good month for sequels and remakes. Look at that. The top four games. Kingdom Hearts 3 sequel, Resident Evil 2 remake, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe remake, an Ace Combat 7 sequel.
He's got the top 10 here. Let me see. So yeah, top 10s, and this includes physical and digital with the notable exceptions I'll get to later. Kingdom Hearts 3, Resident Evil 2, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Red Dead Redemption 2, Ace Combat 7, NBA 2K19, Mario Kart 8, and Grand Theft Auto 5.
So every single thing on that list is a sequel or a remake.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, fair. I'll give it to you, yeah. Hey, that's what you want. And so, yeah, just for clarity's sake, digital sales weren't included on Smash Brothers, of course, and Super Mario Brothers, Wii U, and Mario, any of the Nintendo stuff. And then digital sales for PC weren't included on Black Ops. Yeah, but I mean, that's because, first off, those games people have been waiting forever for. Resident Evil 2, you know, is going to sell. Any Resident Evil is going to sell.
I'm just making an observation. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Resident Evil 2 is great. We love playing it at our house, and everyone seems to. You know, almost all of the games on that list are good games.
Yeah.
But it does say something about the state of the business that everything, you know, it's just franchise iterations and remakes at this point.
Plus, it says something about January. January is that time where we're all desperate for something new. It's a new year. Nobody wants to play. Your backlog, you throw it away.
Old games are old.
Yeah, old games old. I need to be in the game of the year conversation for this year. Drop whatever.
Tetris
Dying
99.
Light.
Woo!
Tetris 99.
Is that a real thing where like games on your backlog, if they stay there for too long, they kind of fall off the edge of the table and get forgotten about?
Don't you think? Does that not happen to you?
I mean, I have games in my backlog that have been sitting around for an extraordinarily long time. I've never actually given up on them. But also, if you ask me, like, are you ever going to get around to playing? Then the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Because the new thing is coming along, and I want to play that.
Yeah, it's the idea, right, of like, I think the thing we struggle with all the time as gamers is that we always want to be part of the conversation, right? That's why people pre-order. That's why people are trying to play day one. That's why you're going on media blackout. Like, we get excited for this stuff because we've been waiting for it for so long. So, yeah, it's hard to come back and be like, you know what? I want to have a conversation. I just started playing Assassin's Creed Origins. Let's talk about that. And everyone's like, no.
But that backlog can come in handy, like, during the lean months, like in the summer months when there's fewer games coming out. That's when that backlog can come to your rescue.
Sure, but it's never slow anymore. There's always something coming. Don't worry about it. Number three, Overkill's The Walking Dead is apparently canceled on consoles. This is Rebecca Smith over at True Achievements. Last month, Starbreeze delayed a console version of Overkill's The Walking Dead again, this time indefinitely. Well, it seems like indefinitely has turned into canceled. Sony has started emailing all players who pre-ordered the game on PlayStation 4 and has begun issuing refunds because the publisher has told them that the game has been canceled. The email was posted by Redditor Pirate Blank Foul. I saw that breaking this morning. Hadn't had, obviously, no confirmation from Starbreeze about it. But yet another wrinkle in the Starbreeze. We are almost out of business. We're going to do everything we can to cut and run from things to try to save the business.
I don't know what's happening with the Walking Dead video game. I mean, Walking Dead is obviously still, I mean, it's not what it was, you know, ratings-wise, but it's still very, very popular on TV.
Sure.
The comics are still going strong. You know, the franchise itself is showing no signs of moribundity, so to speak. I think there's a bit of fatigue setting in because it's been around for a while now, but people are still basically into The Walking Dead. I wonder why that doesn't seem to translate over to the game side. Obviously, the Telltale situation was its own situation.
Right.
And Skybound have since come in and saved it, and it ended up being a good
story.
Have
you been playing the final season yet? Or are you waiting for it all to come out? I mean, I know you consulted on it.
Well, yeah, but honestly, it's given that it essentially was canceled and then resurrected, it's probably changed so much from the version that I consulted on that I could probably play it and be like totally surprised by everything. Yeah.
You were good about it. You told me jack shit, right? Because you don't. You know, but somebody else was telling me about like, oh yeah, Gary came in and said this, and we said that, and I don't know. And then that happened in one of the episodes. Like, oh okay. So you're still there. I still see the Gary Wood a thumbprint. She's always drinking tea, saying bugger.
Interesting. How many, because I've been out of the box on this.
Three episodes are out.
Three are out.
The fourth is
so
forthcoming.
So the Skybound resurrected era is now happening.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's the original Telltale developers that are working on it, right?
It's the still not bitten team. They're working out of the old Telltale office. It's not all of them, I assume. I think we did a whole thing on the showcase. Thanks for watching.
I will be interested to see if it ends the way that we originally pitched. Talked about, because we had a really great ending for it lined up.
It's all a dream. Carl's dreaming.
Rosebud. I'll be interested to see how much of it has stayed the same and how much has changed. But like, here is an example of The Walking Dead where the game has just been flat out canceled. What, because PC sales were bad?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, because people didn't like the game.
Right.
And like, that was the thing. Good? Yeah. Well, yeah. From what I only played a little bit of it. It's definitely not what people were looking for out of the Payday Walking Dead experience.
Right.
And so like, that seemed to be the big problem. I mean, it had been delayed indefinitely. That's another one that had been cooking forever. I remember we had the exclusive at IGN on the trailer for that. And I was like, oh, it's a great trailer. And then it never came. Like, there's a lot of things happening over there that I don't think that's necessarily The Walking Dead's fault.
Okay.
But I digress and we'll see. Sirens are on our end. This one I don't think is that interesting, so I'm not going to read it.
Okay.
The boilerplate, Square Enix is consolidating some business divisions. This is from, I'm now going to paraphrase Rebecca Valentine over at gamesindustry.biz. Financials are obviously coming all the stuff for fiscal years. Just Cause 4, Tomb Raider all underperformed. So then on an earnings call, there was a quote from the president of Square saying, as of Q3 of fiscal year 2020, we plan on reorganizing and consolidate the 11 existing business divisions at Square Enix into 4 business units in order to increase the efficiency of our workflows, make more effective use of our resources, and consolidate our expertise with the aim of improving profitability. So a lot of business talk where they're talking about fixing all this stuff. They had gotten over there an update from Square, and it says GamesIndustry.biz was told that the planned changes would be limited to Square Enix's Japan studio and would take place in April of 2019. Furthermore, the shift is not to involve a reduction of workforce, but is intended as a consolidation of business units to more effectively allocate resources. So, just a heads up, Square underperformed, and they're looking to fix it.
All right,
there you go. Gary. I can't wait to see how these business divisions get reformed into 4 business divisions, because I love it when business divisions become more equitable for shareholders. But that's going to happen in a while from now, not now. If I wanted something more imminent, like say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, Farm Together on PlayStation 4, Clash Battle Arena on PC, Wild Kids on PC, and I Wanna Fly on Switch.
Usually when we do these lists, even on a sluggish week, yeah. And I always, like, one of the things I don't like about coming in on Wednesday is, like, it's not... I'd much rather come in on a Tuesday when there's a, you know, that's the day all the releases come out.
If just your last name began with a T, then it would make sense.
I know, what can
know?
I do? Yeah. But usually in there's something that, like, a title kind of intrigues me, and I'm like, oh, let's pull that one up. But I don't know, Farm Together, there's not
Wild
really...
Kids doesn't
wild
get you?
Wild Kids, I Wanna Fly,
they're wild
maybe?
And cruiser.
That could
wild
be, I don't
cruising.
Know what that is.
So all of them intrigue you.
No, well, no, all, I mean, you know, if I was sitting at home right now, I might pull up a YouTube video, but on I Wanna Fly or Farm Together, but...
Let me see I Wanna Fly on Switch. Let's see what I Wanna Fly on Switch.
Let's look at I Wanna.
Because that sounds like somebody had a mobile game and they brought it over to Switch. While Kevin finds something on I Wanna Fly Switch, I'm going to tell you about the new dates.
Okay.
Eternity, The Last Unicorn, is coming to PC and PlayStation 4 on March 5th. The Xbox One version will come later in the year. Finnemore Fillmore, Three Skulls of the Toltecs Remastered on PC is coming on March 15th to Steam. Vignettes is coming to PC and Mac on March 6th with new content. Toohoo Luna Knights update and end of early access is coming on February 26th. Return to the Battle for the Future, Fate Exilia Link, launches on PC and consoles on March 19th. And then Xbox Game Pass is getting the following games on the following dates. On February 21st, you can get Batman Return to Arkham, Headlander, and Disney Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. And then on February 28th, they'll be adding The Walking Dead Season 2 and Alien Isolation.
That's a good bunch of games for Game Pass.
That is a great fucking drop for Game Pass. You kidding me? All the Arkham games minus Knight, right? And that's right. KindofFunny.com/you're wrong. Is Origins in there? I don't remember. And then, yeah, Walking Dead Season 2. Alien Isolation, a lot of people like the first half of it. Kevin, throw it up. We're now looking at, what is this, I Can now Fly?
This is I Wanna Fly.
I Wanna Fly.
Which looks like, you're right, it does look like kind of a mobile game, or, you know, at least like kind of like indie retro
type game. Yeah, it's in 4.3, yeah, it's definitely a 4, it's now
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, it's just like a little square
now it's looking
screen.
As like, hey, a love letter to your old Atari games, you know what I mean? Here we go, we're going up and down trying
can
not to
see,
hit...
Can we
oh,
see, can we see?
Oh, I get it, it's, we're flying, but we don't want to hit anything, nothing can touch us.
Oh, so it's like Flappy Bird, but flipped
yeah,
on its
this,
side, basically?
Yeah, this is easy mode Flappy Bird, though, all right? If you didn't live through Flappy Bird, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. Flappy Bird, we eat this thing's lunch.
All right, so nothing in this week's on this Wednesday's drop.
You're not running out to download anything?
It's super exciting, you know.
Deals of the day, Gary. Maybe something in here will interest you. Ignacio Rojas wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with a bunch of them. Says deal of the day right now. You can buy 12 months of PlayStation Plus. Right now, if you buy 12 months of PlayStation Plus, you get Rainbow Six Siege for free. The offer runs through the third. Then Ignacio followed up with Deal of the Day via Wario 64. Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, is $39.99 on the Square Enix store. This is over 150 hours of one of the best game series of all time. Parentheses, yes, I said it, fight me, Witta. And almost everything you need to play Kingdom Hearts
just
3.
To be clear, I've never said anything bad about Kingdom Hearts games. I've not played them, so I don't know. But I had just heard that the Kingdom Hearts fans are the worst. I had just heard that. It was about the fans, not necessarily the games.
Listen, I just heard it through
the
grapevine.
The example is someone taking a shot at me.
I understand. Parker Petrov wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Gary, just want to let you know one of the best games last year, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, is on sale for $20 on Amazon for PlayStation 4 and Xbox.
Speaking of someone who is married to someone who has about 200 hours in that game, yeah. I would say that $20 for that is a tremendous bargain.
Get over there and get it. Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Robinhood and Third Love. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge you any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit required to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Kind of Funny Games Daily a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. www.thirdlovebras.com. Third Love is the next sponsor. Let's talk about bras. Using millions of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and incredible feel. Why is Third Love so good? The Fit Finder Quiz. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder Quiz to design bras that have a premium feel. Answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually fun. It takes less time, it takes less than a minute to complete. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body, but don't take my word for it. Take my wife's. She ordered from Third Love and loves the bra. Jen told me it doesn't feel cheap like most bras. It's mostly meant to be worn strapless, but it still came with two sets of straps. Two sets of straps, people! Be like Jen. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. William LaRoque wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I am currently playing Anthem on PC, and I am quite satisfied with the foundation BioWare has laid out for the future of this incredibly fun game. However, I see a lot of people criticizing the game for being incomplete, parentheses, i.e. not a lot of endgame content at the moment, bugs, etc. This leads me to my question. What would you consider a successful launch for a game as a service? Gary, this is the question, right?
I think it's a good question.
Where do you come down on it? Because this is where we're going. I'm asking you all to reach back in your memory banks. Go to the front of the show when we started talking about Anthem, right? Mm-hmm. And it was that there is this scuttlebutt that you're talking about. Like, it seems like there's a blemish every day about something Anthem related. I feel it's stemming from right now their weird release schedule.
Yeah, the staggered release.
Where it is that, guess what? The PC players got it without a day one patch, and they've been playing, and they're the only ones talking. So as the rest of us wait for console, we're all like, it sounds like there's some issues. But are there issues? Is that an issue to me? I don't know. And then they're fixing issues as they go. So what the fuck's going on?
Games as a service, things like Destiny, things like Anthem are tough because it doesn't matter how much you test and develop and QA the game.
Yeah.
You never, the player base, it becomes, once you let the player base in, millions of players, I mean, hopefully.
You can never,
It becomes an organic creature at that point. Yeah. And life finds a way, and life is unpredictable, and people will try to find ways to break your game, and they'll often succeed. And so it's a constant game of catch up with the player base, trying, okay, we've got to patch this, we've got to fix that, people aren't happy, we've got to rebalance this other thing. And so it's kind, and this has obviously been happening for a long, long time. I don't know if they will ever fix it. You know, games obviously evolve a lot. Like World of Warcraft today is nothing like the World of Warcraft that I played on launch day many years ago. Destiny today is a very, very different game from its day one. Anthem a year from now will be very, very different from how it is today. So it's hard to judge. You know, my good friend Logan Decker, who was one of my successors as the editor-in-chief of PC Gamer, often said, just don't buy games at launch. Just don't. Because they're never ready anymore. They're always broken. They always need a day one patch. Sometimes the day one patch doesn't address everything. That's doubly, trebly, quadruply true when it comes to games as a service. I don't know if there's ever been one. I'm old enough to remember World of Warcraft launch day. I can't remember what year it was, but it was a Thanksgiving weekend and it was an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
And that was Blizzard with all of their resources and all of the, and they threw so many servers at it, and they had obviously people up, you know, 24 hours over the Thanksgiving weekend trying to address every issue and making sure people were having a good experience. But people didn't have a good experience. It was a slideshow. It was a mess. It was hard to get in. There were player queues. You couldn't get into the game, and there was a lot of frustration. That has now all been fixed. But and I mean, I don't know. It's, I worry about BioWare sometimes because they're one of my favorite developers, and I love the Mass Effect. It's my favorite franchise. I love the Mass Effect games, and I love BioWare, and I love Knights of the Old Republic, and they've made some of my favorite games. But wading into these waters, which we already know are so treacherous, because we've seen with Destiny was kind of an object lesson in, here are all the things that can go wrong, right? Both Destiny games now at launch were a mess. Right, you think that's fair to say?
No. See, the problem is I think we all start conflating terms and throwing things around. And I don't think you're wrong about, the question, right, is what would you consider a successful launch for a games as a, or game as a service, right? When I think of the ones that are failing, right, I'm jumping to, remember when Diablo 3 came out and it was that server 34 or whatever thing where people just couldn't play? And then, when I was trying to play The Division at launch and I couldn't see my friends, like, it's not even a failure as much as there's going to be bumps in the road for all of these. Back to what you're saying of, there's no way you can possibly test for millions of people jumping onto your game, and let alone the fact that the PSN isn't the same as the Xbox Live, isn't the same as, you know, just online and Steam. There's all these different wrinkles to it. So, like, the next, I want to bring in another question here. Amplitude writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey guys, so yesterday you talked about Anthem and how early reviews have said the game was okay but not spectacular. Fallout 76 was basically in the same boat and was seen as a complete failure when it launched. Why is it that Anthem seems to get a pass for a lot of their issues we're seeing in the pre-release while 76 wasn't? Is it just because you trust BioWare more than Bethesda to address the bugs and issues? Were the issues in 76 that game-breaking? Appreciate all you do, Amplitude." See, that's the thing. I don't think, and granted, I haven't played Anthem yet. It's not released, right? I do not think that is apples and oranges talking about what's happening with Anthem's launch and what's happening with Fallout's launch, right? Anthem's launch is like, oh man, these load times seem long. Oh man, I got this weird gate where I have to get a bunch of collectibles before I can continue the story. That seems weird. People are still talking about it. It's fun and they like the gameplay and they like the world. Fallout 76 wasn't that. Fallout 76 was like, this isn't fun. I go watch the videos of people running in and enemies in T-pose, or you're not even acknowledging right. You're there and falling through the world and losing all your progress, and me and Grime, like, that's where I'm thinking where everybody's getting lumped into this bucket, where I think there is a scale of really bad, like, holy shit, this launch is broken, to like, oh, there's the normal bumps you'd see where there's a connection issue. I think I'm in a queue of 400 people.
Fallout 76 just seems like it was more fundamentally ill-conceived.
Yeah.
Anthem on its face seems more, it's a more straightforward proposition. It's basically Destiny, but you can fly, right? That's essentially it. And so we all get that. We all understand the loot grind. We all... we all go into it with our eyes open. We essentially know what we're getting. It's not a difficult thing to understand, as opposed to Fallout 76, which was this weird side project that seemed like it wasn't one thing or the other. Like, there was a story, but it was hard to get into. There weren't any other characters in the game. You know, you would occasionally bump into other players, but it didn't really mean anything. There were all these things that just seemed like they fundamentally just misjudged what people wanted from a game like that.
Yeah.
Anthem, I think, has the potential to be a solid game, and I would take issue with the premise of the question here. I don't think Anthem is getting a pass. Like I said to you earlier in the show, if you are running PR or marketing, or if you're in any position at BioWare right now that worked on Anthem, you can't be happy with the current narrative that's out there. Because all right. I see in Anthem is it's trending. There's a lot of stuff out there. And I understand that people who are unsatisfied generally make more noise than people who are satisfied. I'm sure there's lots of forum threads out there.
Well, the pool's
people
so small, though, right now,
people having a great
right?
time with the game. But right now, all I'm seeing is complaints about load times, complaints about bugs, people falling through the wall. All that stuff you described, that's happening in Anthem as well.
Oh, I haven't seen
some,
that.
Like, crazy things like having to go through five different load screens just to equip a weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
People that aren't able to get into the same raids as everyone else because they're on PC. If you don't have a solid state drive as opposed to a regular hard drive, might take you longer to load in. They've got I don't know if it's more than average,
yeah,
but it seems like they are dealing with a lot of technical problems right now. And a lot of people, you know, it was part of what we talked about this morning. The narrative that's going back and forth on Twitter right now is that is it legitimate to complain about the game prior to its official release? I think it is. Right now,
it's officially released. I don't buy this that it's not officially released.
It is, you know, and so you've got this weird situation where people are out there, and I think this is the mistake that EA's made with this staggered release strategy that I don't understand at all, is they're releasing the game to players prior to a day one, because we're not at, again, this is the argument that people are defending the game are making. It's not even day one yet. The game's not even officially out yet. It is officially out. People who have, you know, EA, Origin, Gold, Platinum, Premier,
they bought it.
Exclusive,
they paid
bullshit,
for it. Yeah.
They have paid for it.
And it's listed, and the other argument is like, because I saw this going back and forth on, I think, a Klepek thread where people were arguing with each other.
Yeah.
Where the one guy was like, it's listed as full release on there. It's not saying early access when I buy it. It's saying it's full release.
Right. And the only difference is you're getting it because you pay some bullshit premium for EA, Origin, Premier, early super duper access or whatever that is. But I think if you paid money for it and it's out there now, and you have every right to express your dissatisfaction if the game is not working as advertised. And it does sound like they've got some very serious problems, which 6 months from now, probably will not be there. But they're not charging me for the game 6 months from now. Yeah. They're charging me for it now.
I don't know
how much more stable it's going to get on the official day one when the game, what is it, next week the game drops?
No, it's Friday.
On Friday?
Yeah, Thursday at midnight.
So we'll see how much more stable it becomes. I'm sure right now people at BioWare are working around the clock like crazy trying to, you know, deal with all of these issues.
I honestly believe that the narrative is going to be a week from now incredibly different. Because I think what's going to happen is it's going to get into the hands of console players who have pre-ordered and are interested. I'm interested, right? I've still never played it, and everybody says the gameplay is so great. I think it's going to get into our hands, and I feel a day one patch is going to fix some. They talked about load times. They talked about the weird gating issue. I think it's going to get there, and a lot of people are going to have their expectations lowered by what they've heard, like the hardest of hardcore gamers, lowered by what they've heard, jump in and be like, oh, this is better than what Jeff said. This is better than what I read, you know, and go in and come out next week and be more positive about it, especially as EA or BioWare continues to be more, hey, this is what we're fixing. Hey, here we are. We're in front of the messages. We're talking to you. We're trying to make it go.
I mean, it concerns me, and it's kind of right, at least right for Reagan. I will wait for the narrative to change. There's plenty of other games I'm going to be playing right now. I could play Treasures 99. I could play Apex Legends. There's all kinds of other things out there.
Well, I mean,
right,
Apex Legends, right? That is the killer.
I'm right. And look, and compare the two narratives. The narrative on Apex Legends, which is another game that got dropped into a mass player base without any, and don't forget, they had no public beta. They just dropped it.
Yeah.
The narrative on Apex Legends has been, I would say, overwhelmingly positive, right? People love that game.
Yeah, totally.
Number one game on Twitch, 25 million players playing it. All of these things that EA have just been able to put out one, you know, triumphant press release after another. And there's no, I'm sure there are people who will complain about anything. I'm sure there's lots of issues with, you know, weapon balancing or map design, things like that.
Sure,
but for the most part, the game is working as advertised. It looks great. People are enjoying it. It's been a huge, huge success. Over at Anthem, it seems like just every day they're putting out another fire.
Sure. And you know why? Expectations. And obviously, don't get me wrong, pound for pound gameplay, but expectations of Apex Legends is free to play, and it got dropped out of the blue. Oh my God. Anthem, I'm only interested in playing on Friday because everybody's like, oh no, Greg, when you play it, you're gonna really love it. I've said from the jump of it, I don't know if this is a game for me. Like, I don't know if I'm interested in this world. However, you have folks like Andrea, right, who are like, this is one of the games, this is my most anticipated game. She said, this is my most anticipated game of the year. And it's like, damn, that comes with a lot and a lot of expectations.
Right.
Now, Andrea, of course, a gamer who played Paragon and Destiny and plays a whole bunch of games as service, I'm sure she's going in with the mindset of, it's going to be a rough ride in the beginning. They're going to do this and update that and yada, yada, yada. Now, me with the Division 2, I'm aware that's going to be a trash fire on day one.
Right.
I'm so excited for the Division 2. I'd fucking go into a coma right now to wake up and play it tomorrow. But I know on launch weekend, it's going to be disconnects. I know I'm not going to be able to group up correctly. I know I'm going to lose something or what. And I know that the economy will change by the time I get to 6 months in or whatever. But like, cool, I'm signing up for that ride. I know what this is.
See, I'm a little different. I think I'm excited about Division 2 as well. As you know, I love the Division. Love the first game, and I'm excited about that for me is my most anticipated game. But I might not play it on day one.
Crazy.
Because I want to have a good experience. For me, it's the exact opposite of the experience I want to have. If I'm going in, I'm all excited for the Division, but all I'm dealing with is load times and matchmaking issues and hang-ups and frame rates and all other things.
But I
want to
be there. I want to save Washington, D.C.
I would rather wait for a couple of patches and come in and have my first experience with the game be stable and smooth and more enjoyable.
We'll see.
So I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Well, keep thinking about
it. I may wait.
Gary, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Today, Sean needs help on PlayStation 4. Shan? Yeah, it's Han with an S.
Shan.
So Shan.
Sean.
Sean is what I said originally, but it sounds like Sean, so I'm going to say Shan. Shan, PSN, is Butter Cadillac.
I like his game. He's game PSN.
So I bought my PlayStation 4 on Black Friday 2014, and it came with The Last of Us 2 and GTA 5. Real life happened, and I never really had a chance to open it.
I don't think it came with Last of Us 2.
Why not? Oh, no, it was...
Maybe he just means Last of Us.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's what
maybe he means Last of Us Remastered.
Well, he does mean Last of Us Remastered. A little while I did play. I finally decided to open my PlayStation 4 and move away from my old PSN name and start new. So I set up the PlayStation 4 in December, only to find out that the voucher for The Last of Us expired a month prior in December. Granted, it's only $20 now, but I felt like an idiot for waiting so long. So now I have a new PSN name and I need new friends. My PSN name is Butter Cadillac. No space between the words. I would appreciate some best friends to add me and play with, especially Apex, Fortnite, which I suck at. So if you want to add Butter Cadillac and play some games, get on it.
All right.
Gary, yeah. We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it
what
up.
What did we screw up?
Not terrible today. A lot of clarifications. Kebabs writes in and says, Greg is thinking of the Joy-Con grip.
Yeah. That's
what
we're
looking for. Yeah, yeah. Ignacio Rojas corrects our pronunciation. The PS1 dev kit was called Net Yerosi, not Net Nerosi.
Yeah, I said Yerosi.
I was saying Nerosi. It's me. Okay. It's me. Don't worry. Shh, 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 shh. Luke
it was black, wasn't it? It was a black. It looked like a black PlayStation. It had a different color.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Luke R. Wolf says Arkham Origins is not in the Game Pass. Thank you for the clarification. Lord of Pwn says Dream's full price per a Reddit thread that grabbed answers from the Media Molecule Discord is, quote, the cost of Dreams at launch may be different from the early access prices mentioned on the blog.
So we just
links.
Don't know yet.
Kebabs clarifies the Diablo 3 error code I was talking about was error 37. Lord of Pwn says the Destiny 1 launch went pretty flawlessly. There were very few reports of login/server issues, and most reviews were positive of the online infrastructure of the game. And these aren't corrections. These are just things for segments.
I just remember with the original Destiny, the narrative being that people weren't really happy with it until Taken King came out. And then
yeah, but
was
that
good.
Was like more like, see, that's what I'm talking about, where we're confusing a whole bunch of things together, where right. we're talking about like launch day issues versus like gameplay issues or right. like pacing or end game and all that jazz. Who the fuck knows? Just play games. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Listen later on podcast services around the globe, or watch later on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. Tomorrow's host, Andrew Renee, the busiest lady in the business, is back. Friday, Tim and I close it out before Tim does the screencast with Kevin and Nick, before we do one big stream of Anthem and decide if we hate it or love it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.